This is Our Pastimes Podcast, presented by USA Baseball. Here is your host, Joe DiRienzo.
Hello and welcome to Our Pastimes Podcast. It is Wednesday, June 17th, and coming up on today's show, a preview of the summer for the 2015 Collegiate National Team, a new event in the 12U National Team selection process, and a very busy alumni update, including some MLB debut hijinks and one of the best pitching performances in league history. But first, let's see what's leading off. The Collegiate National Team arrives at the National Training Complex tomorrow, June 18th, to begin their training process for the summer. Ed Blankmeyer, head coach of St. John's baseball team, will manage the 2015 CNT. Blankmeyer comes in with a great collegiate coaching resume as he is the winningest coach in both St. John's and Big East baseball history. Blankmeyer was an assistant coach on the 2010 Collegiate National Team, a team loaded with current MLB players like Gerrit Cole, Sonny Gray, and George Springer. His staff includes Kentucky head coach Gary Henderson, who will serve as the team's pitching coach. Henderson is considered one of the top pitching coaches in all of college baseball, and he's just one of the examples of his recent work is last year's Golden Spikes Award winner, A.J. Reed, who's a two-way player, but pitching-wise, he went 12-2 with a 2.09 ERA. This is Henderson's second USA Baseball coaching position. He was coach at the first-ever 14U National Team Development Program back in 2012. University of San Diego head coach Rich Hill will also be making his second USA Baseball coaching appearance. Hill has 27 years of head coaching experience at the college level, 24 of which he has had a winning season. Hill has also coached a Golden Spikes Award winner, as 2013 winner Chris Bryant is a product of Hill's San Diego baseball program. LSU head coach Paul Maneri rounds out Blankmeyer's collegiate national team coaching staff. Maneri has led LSU to three College World Series appearances in his last eight seasons coaching the Tigers, including winning the 2009 National Championship. He has coached college baseball for 33 seasons now and has racked up 1,260 wins, which is ninth most among active coaches. Maneri is also one of only seven coaches ever to have 1,000 wins and win a national championship in his coaching career. He is yet to coach a Golden Spikes Award winner, but that could change if Alex Bregman comes away with the trophy next week. The team clearly has a decorated, prestigious coaching staff, so let's take a look at the players they will be coaching. We've got a couple of returning alumni, starting with Nick Banks, sophomore outfielder from Texas A&M. He was on the 2014 Collegiate National Team, so he's coming back for his second straight summer in Cary. Banks led the SEC with a .417 batting average this season and reached base safely in 36 consecutive games. Bryson Brigman, three-time alumni and freshman infielder for Rich Hill's University of San Diego, is another one returning to Cary this summer. Brigman was named a freshman All-American by Louisville Slugger this year after batting .339 with 28 RBIs and 39 runs scored for San Diego. Oregon sophomore right-handed pitcher Steven Nagasek was last in a USA Baseball jersey in 2009 when he and the 14U national team won gold at the Copape Pan American Championships in Puerto Viejo, Ecuador. Nagasek went 6-3 for Oregon this year, posting a 2.02 ERA and allowing opponents to hit just 196 against him. Next alumni up is 2013-18U national team's J.J. Schwarz, catcher and designated hitter for the Florida Gators. He was named Freshman Hitter of the Year by the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association, Louisville Slugger's Co-Freshman of the Year, and he was an All-American selection as well. Schwarz batted .331 this year with 18 homers, 54 runs, and 73 RBIs. No surprise that he was so decorated this year. And then there's Chris Oakey, who apparently can't get enough of USA Baseball. This will be his fifth summer in the last 6 years that he's on a national team. He was a member of the 2010-16U national team, both the 2011 and 2012-18U teams, and he was on last year's 2014 Collegiate National Team. On those five teams, he's won four gold medals, so he comes into this year as the most decorated and most experienced USA Baseball player on the team. He's not an alumni, but Zach Birdie, brother of 2013 Collegiate National Team alumni Nick Birdie, is the next closest in ties to Team USA on the team this summer. Birdie's a sophomore right-handed pitcher from Louisville, and he led the Cardinals in saves this year with 9, while putting up a 0.92 ERA and striking out 30 batters in his 29 innings of work. You can find the full roster on usabaseball.com. The team has its first game against the Holly Springs Salamanders of the Coastal Plains League on June 20th at the National Training Complex. Their summer also includes a pair of international friendship series, 7 games against Chinese Taipei, and 5 games with Cuba, including a 4th of July game at BB&T Ballpark in Charlotte. The collegiate national team will also participate in America's Baseball Festival, along with Cuba, Canada, and the 2015 USA Pan Am Games team. Coming up next, director of the 12U national team, Cody Kaufman, joins me to talk about one of USA Baseball's newest events, the Futures Invitational. You're listening to our Pastimes podcast. There's only one way to get the exclusive gear worn by the players on Team USA, and that's from the USA Baseball Shop. For official licensed USA Baseball gear, everything from performance apparel to hoodies, jackets, t-shirts, hats, and more, head over to usabaseballshop.com and be sure to follow USA Baseball Shop on Twitter and Instagram for exclusive deals and new merchandise. Now joining me is director of the 12U national team, Cody Kaufman. Cody, the Futures Invitational is one of the new events being introduced this year to USA Baseball's calendar, adding to the exposure of this younger age group, and they'll be adding into these years' baseball events. How does the Futures Invitational benefit the 12U national team selection process?
It benefits the 12U national team selection process because it's going to allow us to see 16 of the best teams, we feel, coming to the tournament in the country. So we're going to try... Year in and year out, it's only going to get, in my opinion, stronger and better. So it's just going to be a field of 16 teams right now, invite only. So some of the best teams that we can find throughout the country that are going to come here to carry and participate in this. And it's going to make the 12U selection process better because it's going to give us more kids. We select 8 to 10 kids from this event, and it's going to be a talent-heavy event, and they're all... for the majority, 03 birth dates, which is the eligibility for this year's international rules. So it's going to make the selection process better because it's going to give us more eyes on more players and different opinions on different kids. So it'll give us a better look that way and a broader look with the teams being from so many different areas.
Now, this is the youngest age group in USA Baseball national team play. So along with the competitive side, there are some more fun-oriented elements to this kind of weekend, right?
Absolutely, yeah. When you have a bunch of 12-year-olds, you can't take yourself too seriously.
And it is still a game.
It is absolutely still a game, and that's probably part of why I love this position, I love my job so much, is that these kids don't take themselves too seriously, and you got to have some fun. So part of this event also is we're going to have a quick ball home run derby championship, that we actually do with the collegiate national team. Eric's been kind enough to, give us his guys and come over and you know, they've been more than willing, and he's been more than willing to help us out with that, because we think that's just going to be something that these kids will never forget. But it's also going to be a blast to play kind of like almost like wiffle ball home run derby with these guys and 11 and 12 year olds, because you know, you can probably remember when you were 11 and 12 playing wiffle ball in the backyard.
Of course.
So it's not going to be much different. It's just going to be a trophy at the end for the winner, and you're going to be playing with, you know, future first rounders. So it's a little different, but it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's also a barbecue with the collegiate national team. It sounds like you guys have a great day planned, interacting between the youngest age group and one of the oldest age groups USA Baseball has. The younger players do have a chance to learn a little something in addition to it just being a relaxing evening with that college team, though.
No, absolutely. The collegiate national team is going to come over. And yeah, we're going to play quick ball for maybe an hour tops. And then after that, there's another hour and a half of the event. We're just going to have the team mingle with them. The staff's going to be there from the collegiate national team. You have an incredible staff with all the coaches from all over. And then you have all these players that are, you know, they were once 12-year-olds, you know, probably looking starry-eyed at, you know, players that are now who they are. So they're going to just learn just based on how these guys carry themselves, the collegiate national team. I mean, I worked with the collegiate national team last year, and just, you know, all those guys carry themselves with such pride and such honor. They're all just really good dudes, really good guys. So I just think that's going to be huge for these 12-year-olds to learn that, you know, these guys are like, I don't want to say heroes, but like they look up to them. And to see that these guys are just like them, just a little bit older, is going to be quite an experience for them as well.
Yeah, it'll be a really memorable experience meeting some of their heroes, hopefully. But at the end of the day, the teams are competing for hopefully a chance to win a championship in this event, and the individual players are vying for those spots available in the national team trials roster. Is there a specific difference in evaluating this younger age group at an event like this than there would be as they get older?
Yeah, it's a little different. I think that's the hardest part of it, is making the adjustment of, you know, realizing these guys are, you know, they're 11 and 12 year old kids.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, we do have a 12 year old national team that's going over to compete for a World Cup. So you got to evaluate similar. It's very similar to the older group in that you evaluate by watching, and it's the same way, you know, you use your eyes and your gut to kind of judge these guys. Plus you have the, you know, how fast they're down the line. We won't have radar guns just because it'll be PitchSmart compliant.
Of course.
But with 12-year-olds, it's a little bit easier to be like, okay, that guy's got something on the mound in comparison to, you know, you could watch a bunch of high schoolers and, you know, you see a little bit of movement, but, you know, the guy throws 82, whereas if he's throwing 86 with movement, it makes a difference. It does.
Mm-hmm.
You can still see that, but with the 12-year-old group, I feel like it's a little bit easier to see the guys that kind of stand out that way. But it is very similar in the way you do evaluate older kids, in that it's just a smaller field, but it's still baseball. So there's still the same kind of, you know, I guess like standards to kind of watch the kids for.
Right, and the Futures Invitational is making its USA Baseball debut. It'll start on June 25th. Sounds like you guys have a great couple days planned for these guys in Cary, North Carolina. Cody, thanks again for the time.
No, thank you.
After the Futures Invitational, Cody and the 12U National Team await the 12U National Open, which starts on July 13th at the MLB Urban Youth Academy in California. It'll immediately be followed by trials and training before the 12U National Team heads to Taiwan for the WBSC 12U Baseball World Cup, which starts on July 24th. The alumni update is next here on our Pastimes podcast. It's time for our USA Baseball Alumni Update. Last week's MLB Players of the Week were both USA Baseball alumni. 2013 World Baseball Classic alum Giancarlo Stanton won NL Player of the Week after batting .520 with 5 home runs and 12 RBIs. He also became the first Marlins player in history to hit 9 home runs in a 12-game span, which he achieved between May 30th and June 11th. 2009 18U alumni Manny Machado earned AL Player of the Week honors as well. Machado hit .458 with 9 runs, 5 RBIs, and 2 homers this week for the Orioles. 2005 Collegiate National Team alumni Max Scherzer is the current frontrunner for Player of the Week honors this week after his start on Sunday. Scherzer struck out 16 batters in a complete game one-hit shutout of the Milwaukee Brewers. He walked only one batter, and his performance earned him a game score of 100, which is only the 12th time in MLB history a pitcher has recorded at least a 100-game score in 9 innings. He's also just 5 points shy of Kerry Wood's record for a 9-inning game in his 20-strikeout one-hitter back in 1998. For those unfamiliar with the metric, game score is used to determine how well a pitcher performs in a given game. The pitcher starts with 50, and he gains points based on outs recorded, strikeouts, and how long he pitches into the game, and he loses points for hits, walks, and runs allowed. So if a pitcher throws a 9-inning perfect game and strikes out every single batter he faces, his game score would be 114. Scherzer only struck out 16 and gave up a hit and a walk, so he was 14 shy of statistically the best possible outing you could have in 9 innings. Not a bad day of work. Two-time alumni Francisco Lindor joins the ranks of USA Baseball alums in the bigs by making his Major League debut this past week. He got his first hit in his second ever at-bat against the Detroit Tigers, and it would have been a double if he hadn't slipped and fell rounding first base. It was the start of what would have been an extremely entertaining first major league hit, because as soon as Lindor fell, he started laughing and pointing and claimed that Miguel Cabrera must have interfered with him for him to fall like that. After the game, he did own up to it, being all on him, saying, "It wasn't Cabrera. I had to pick somebody and he was right there. I didn't feel my legs." Guess he got a little excited there. It's a funny story for your first major league hit, right? But we're not done. Let me explain. No, there's too much. Let me sum up. The Cleveland Indians starting pitchers have taken Lindor's first hit ball for ransom. Ransom. leaving him a note with requests from each pitcher. The requests aren't cheap either. For example, 2009 Collegiate National Team alumni Trevor Bauer requested a Galaxy Note Pro, and not just any Galaxy Note Pro, but the 12.2-inch model with 64GB memory. We'll see if Lindor actually has to pay up on the ransom, or if the pitchers will let him off easy and this is just a case of rookie hazing. And finally, a big congratulations to Mike Gaskey, president of USA Baseball, on his induction into the Guilford County Sports Hall of Fame. That'll do it for today's episode of our Pastimes podcast. Remember, the collegiate national team action starts at the National Training Complex on June 20th. Head to usabaseball.com for their full schedule. For today's guest, Cody Kaufman, I'm Joe DiRienzo. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to USA Baseball's presentation of our Pastimes podcast. For upcoming episodes and the complete archive of our Pastimes podcast, find us on iTunes or head to usabaseball.com.